bid you welcome again. Well, a few people came in since I sat down. So, again, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad to see you. Glad to get together. Always good, I say, and we say. Especially want to say thank you for your desire to be with us for a time of worship together. And then also to enjoy friendship and fellowship. Again, I try to put an outline of the sermon in your bulletin. Please, if you'd like to follow along, some do and some don't, but it's certainly there to aid you to follow along as I make the presentation. You can look back at things I've already said. You can anticipate what I'm going to say. So it's a very valuable tool. I know many brethren use these. They mail them to family members, friends. They've made this outline an evangelistic tool. So I encourage you to use this not only just for the worship assembly. The lesson this morning is from the text that was read to us. It's titled, "And Be Converted," or conversion. The one purpose of revealed religion is to bring about our conversion, meaning to bring us to God. When we read the Bible or assemble to worship, we do these spiritual things. It's designed to make a change in your life and mine that bring us closer to God. It's designed to involve us in a dedication that causes us to say, I want to be on God's side, or I want to be as close to God as I possibly can. The word conversion, by definition, means to turn about and turn towards. It's not just simply a turn away from something, that a direction you've been going, but simply in a biblical definition, we want to turn away from self-service and turn toward God. It's a course of thinking or action that we're involved in. In Romans 12, verse 2, Paul says, do not be conformed to this world. Conform. What should happen in conversion? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's conversion. In our text, Peter said in verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and that he may send the Christ who's been appointed for you. Going back in the Bible, Jesus mentions the word conversion and its importance in Matthew 18. Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted, and become as little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's important. Quoting from Isaiah chapter 6, Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 13, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Not a compliment. Their ears are hard of hearing. They don't want to listen to what God has to say. Their eyes they've closed. I just don't want to see it. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn and be converted so that I should heal them. Oh, conversion. Paul used the word conversion to describe the Gentiles turning to God. In Acts 15, verse 3, he says, so, being sent on their way by the church, these missionaries, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, and they described the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. In other words, that was good news that these Gentiles turned to serve God. Conversion. There's three distinct changes which determine conversion to Christ. I have these listed in your notes. You see, in my lesson this morning, I'm going to make a presentation that no one totally turns to God without experiencing these three things. Number one, a change of heart. Second, a change of life. And number three, a change in relationship. All three are necessary for conversion. And the gospel, the Bible, pinpoints three specific items that produce these changes. Number one, faith changes the heart. Second, repentance changes your lifestyle or your life. Number three, baptism changes your relationship. And you're going to, and you should note that none of these can take the place of the other. Meaning, faith, number one, changes the heart. Your faith does not change your life. It does not change your relationship to God. Number two, repentance changes your life. Repentance is not designed to change your faith or your heart. It is not designed to change your relationship to God. It changes your lifestyle. Number three, baptism changes your relationship to God. It does not change your heart. It does not change your life. It's not designed to do that. Now let's take a look at each one of these three. These three things. Number one, when we talk about conversion, number one, change of heart. Number one, produced by faith. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a great statement. Call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ah, but he gives an added explanation. Because he asks a question. He says, but brethren, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And then a follow-up question, and how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? Great question. How can you believe in something you haven't heard? See? So if you want a change of heart, it's produced by faith. But in verse 17, he says, well, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. If you want to have more faith in your life, listen to God's word. That's where faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. Someone says, oh, my faith sounds so weak. Well, then read God's word. Oh, I'm just so down in my faith. It just doesn't not seem to be working, not very strong. Then read God's word. Attend the Bible class, the worship assembly. Faith comes from no other place. Amen. No other place. Comes by hearing the word of God. I know the psalmist, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. Well, that may produce a faith, but that creation doesn't tell you how many gods there are. Does it? You can just shake your head. Answer to yourself. Yeah, the heavens declare the glory of God. How many gods do the heavens declare? I don't know. The heaven, sun and moon, how many gods are up there? I didn't hear anything back. Mountains and trees and rivers and beautiful creation. How many gods? This creation tells me there's a God. Can you tell me how to treat my wife? I don't hear anything back. See, creation tells you nothing except that there's a designer. Just tells you that the heavens declare the glory of God. Gives you no specific. Sun and moon and stars and mountains and trees and beautiful earth. Tell me how you want me to worship. Nothing. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Your faith will be strengthened through no other way. Faith changes the heart. So when the evidence is presented, and the gospel is preached, it produces faith. The Great Commission in Mark chapter 16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Why everybody? Tell everybody the same gospel message. Because when you hear it, it's designed to produce faith. The next phrase is, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Believe what? The preaching of the gospel. The word of God. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John closes up and says, many other signs, miracles, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. What's the result of believing? reading the things that are written. When the evidence is presented, it produces faith. It changes your heart from a state of unbelief to belief. Now I've looked at the testimony, and I believe it. Faith changes the heart. Second in conversion is a change of life that comes from repentance. A change of heart amounts to very little unless there's a change of life. You understand that? Change of heart amounts to little. Unless there's a change of life. Several years ago, there was a national poll of those who said they believed in God. And only 28% of those polled said, oh, my faith really makes a difference in my life. That means 62% of them said, oh, it really doesn't matter how I live as long as I believe in God. Their faith did not change their life. Faith, by design, remember, you look at your notes. Faith changes the heart, does not change your life. It's not designed to change your life. Oh, I believe in God. Well, I don't see it. I don't need to see it. Faith doesn't change your life. Repentance does that. Repentance. You can believe all you want to, but unless you repent, you're still not fully converted. You can declare your faith in God loud and long, like I'm doing right now. And you can jump up and down and wave, I believe in God. Really? Are you not converted? Faith has changed your heart. You're not converted. Repentance changes your life. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. In Acts chapter 17, Paul preaches to all these religious people in Athens. Religious people. They even had an altar to an unknown god, unless they thought, oh, I might leave some god out. There's an unknown god. Well, Paul said, well, I'm going to declare that one to you. And then Paul said, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. In other words, it's not all right for you to worship all these other gods. That's not all right. That's not good. He didn't give them an attaboy. He didn't commend them because they were religious. He says that for you to convert to the one and true and living God, you'll need to repent. Throw the other gods away. Repent means to change one's mind or purpose. Put that in your notes. Involves both a turning from sin and a turning to God by the exercise of faith. Godly sorrow works repentance. So Peter said in our text, repent therefore and be converted. But even with faith and repentance, conversion is not complete. So that makes our third point in the lesson, the change of relationship that's produced by baptism. Baptism does not change the heart. That's done by faith. Baptism does not change your life. That's done by repentance. Baptism changes your relationship to God from not being a child of God to being a child of God. From being outside the family to being in the family. Now this accounts for one thing that puzzles us, and this may already be on your mind. Because you and I see many morally good, upstanding, outstanding people who are not baptized. And we see some immoral people who have been baptized. And we wonder why. Oh, you've been baptized? Well, you sure don't act like it. I wonder why. Well, here's the answer. Because if a person is baptized whose heart has not been changed by faith, and whose life has not been changed by repentance, then he's not going to be any better after he was baptized than he was before he was baptized. Because baptism does not change your heart. You can be immersed in water all you want to, and it's not going to give you more faith. Baptism is not designed to do that. You can be immersed in water and rise, and you're not going to be live any better after baptism than you did before, because repentance does that. Baptism is by design only changes your relationship to God. That's all it does. Well, some other changes the relationship. So you wonder, how come this Christian over here, who has been baptized for all these years, doesn't live like it? Well, he was just baptized, that's all. He didn't repent. Here are Christians, no, I don't have much faith in God. I was baptized. Well, baptism, what's going to change your heart from unbelief to belief? Faith does that. Baptism will not do what faith and repentance were designed to do. Doesn't it? Some people might think so. If only if they were converted just to baptism. Oh, you need to be baptized. You need to have faith and repent and be baptized. Don't you convert anybody to baptism. You don't do that. You convert them to Christ. Read the message that produces faith, that produces a change of life, that produces obedience to a change in relationship. The sequence is recorded in Acts chapter 2. These are in your notes. But Peter reaches a point in his sermon, in verse 37, where he says, "This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ." So they heard. They listened to the message that is designed to produce faith. Says when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. Change of heart. I crucified Jesus because I didn't think he was the Messiah. Now having Peter hearing your lesson, I believe it. A change of heart. With the information, Peter, that you just gave me, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So they were cut to the heart. And they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, second, repent. So they now have that, number one, the change of heart. Second, Peter said, I want you to repent, change your lifestyle. And be baptized, change of relationship, for the remission of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he testified, exhorted unto them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them, that's a change of relationship, isn't it? Added unto them, interesting phrase. So they heard, they believed the evidence, they changed their heart, they were cut to the heart, change their heart. I believe now. Second Peter, well, they said, well, what shall we do? They knew that's not enough. Anything we're supposed to do? Well, repent. Change your life. And be baptized. Change your relationship. And verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Oh, change of relationship. They were added to something. The church. Let me close with this illustration. You can understand this one. Being converted, illustrated by a couple getting married. So you have a boy and girl dating together. Boy meets girl, spends some time together. The boy has a change of heart where he decides that this is the one. You know, the heart begins to throb. They believe that they're in love and they express their love to each other. Well, you are the one. I believe that with all my heart out of all the others. I believe that. So the boy asks the girl to marry him. She says yes. Are they married? Shake your head this way. No, they're not. But wait a minute. He believes. Faith. I have faith and I'm convinced you're the one out of all the others. You're the one. But they're not married, are they? I love you. Yeah, but you're not married. But you had a change of heart. You eliminate all the others. But you're not married yet. But I believe. Yeah, you believe. You did have a change of heart. Second, change of life. So now there's a visible change in these two. They act differently. They have eyes only for each other. A radical change in living and life, and that's apparent to others. They're only interested, you know, romantically in each other. Change of life. Are they married? Take it this way. but he changed his lifestyle. He and she have dedicated themselves only to one, to each other. No, not married yet. Oh, a change in relationship, number three. A time is appointed, a ceremony is performed, and the words are said, I pronounce you husband and wife. Are they married? Shake your head this way now. Now they are married. I pronounce you. Typically, I say at the end of the ceremonial, by the power vested in me by the state of California, and because you've given and received a ring and declared your love before witnesses, I have that power or that authority to declare you now husband and wife. They're married. They were not married when their hearts were changed. They were not married when their lifestyle changed and devoted themselves to each other. The ceremony did not change their heart. They were in love before they got there. The ceremony did not change their behavior. They decided that before they came to the marriage altar. But the ceremony changed their relationship. That's what's required in conversion. Change of heart, change of life, change of relationship. And neither one is designed to do what the other does. So that's the close of the lesson. So always, at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. So now you know what to do to be converted. Faith, repentance, baptism, change relationship. If that's on your mind, if that's your desire, if that's your wish to do this morning, we can accomplish that. You just need to let that be known. So let's stand together and sing.